Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to start the broadcast, before we go to our callers, with something that I read today. I read an article by Jonathan Merritt, who happens to be controversial in his own right concerning moral issues, but he wrote an article titled Best-Selling Author Eugene Peterson Changes His Mind on Gay Marriage. And in the article, he quotes Eugene Peterson saying, "I wouldn't have said this 20 years ago, but now I know a lot of people who are gay and lesbian, and they seem to have as good a spiritual life as I do." I think that kind of debate about lesbians and gays might be over. He goes on to say, "It's not a right or wrong thing as far as I'm concerned. As far as performing same-sex weddings," he says, "absolutely, yes. That would be something that he would do." Now, when I read this article, the first thing that came to my mind was, changed his mind? Are you kidding me? More than 20 years ago, he published the message. It has been a cottage industry within the evangelical Christian community. And in that paraphrase of the Bible, and I've said this many times over the years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Peterson attempts to squeeze the New Testament into the mold of today's politically correct culture. In other words, instead of being a change agent, being an initiator, we become politically correct and imitators. So, of course, we can't correct or rebuke, because that wouldn't be politically correct. We shouldn't argue with anyone in the family of God who thinks hell is a myth. Think Peterson's endorsement of Rob Bell and his book, which denounces hell as little more than a fantasy or a myth. And above all, don't mention homosexuality. Better yet, take it out of the biblical text, which is precisely what Peterson does in 1 Corinthians 6:9, where he refrains from mentioning homosexuality, as does the Greek text. And instead, he corrects those, here's how he puts it, those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex. Now, obviously, someone who is in the gay lifestyle, someone who's a homosexual, would not have a problem with Peterson's text in the least, in that they do not consider sodomy an abuse of sex. In their view, homosexuality is simply an alternative lifestyle. And as significantly, I think we should also ask, on what basis does Peterson have the temerity to replace a sin not mentioned in the biblical text, use and abuse the earth? That's gratuitously inserted into the text as a substitute for homosexuality. So he replaces one sin with what he considers to be, I guess, a greater sin. I find it strange that so many people are making a big deal out of this now. I find it ironic. 16 million copies later. Long ago, Peterson showed his colors. And despite the fact that he has tampered with the text in a substantial way, this message, his message, continues to be popularized and proliferated in the Christian world. And there are many examples I could give. I mean, it is not just as egregious as the example that I just gave is. It is not just that. I mean, think about what he does with the Lord's Prayer. Here's how he renders it. I'm reading from the Message right now. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals, keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge, you can do anything you want, you're ablaze in beauty, yes, yes, yes. Now, I'm going to say something about that later on when I talk about or when I present the quote of the day, because this is a model prayer. And every word of that prayer has incredible significance. For example, did you notice in Peterson's version, there is no "Hallowed be thy name"? And when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," it is an incredibly important part and petition of the prayer. It is to put emphasis on God first, exactly where the emphasis belongs. Our daily lives ought to radiate a far greater commitment to God's nature and holiness than to our own needs. And therefore, to pray, "Hallowed be thy name," is tantamount to praying that God be given the unique reverence that his holiness demands, that his word be preached without corruption and without alteration, I would add, that our churches be led by faithful pastors who do not perform same-sex marriage, because now that is the politically correct thing to do, that our churches be preserved from false prophets, that we be kept from language that profanes the name of God, that our thought lives remain holy, that we cease from seeking honor for ourselves and seek instead that God's name be glorified. I love what Augustine said about this. It's memorable. This is prayed for not as if the name of God were not holy already, but that it may be held holy by men. In other words, that God may so become known to them that they shall reckon nothing more holy, and which they are more afraid of offending. The glorious truth of this position is that while we were once impotent to hallow his name, God has hallowed us through the sacrifice of the very one who taught us these words. Once his light shining into our darkness would have been, well, it would have been terrifying. But thank God, like Isaiah, he has touched our lips with a burning coal and whispers through our pain, "Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." I know what I'm saying is not popular, probably not even with my audience. The politically correct thing is to laud a paraphrase of the Bible that has sold 16 million copies. It's a cottage industry in the evangelical Christian world. But I think these things ought to be said. And the reason they ought to be said is when we start to take God's words and alter them, not only in a slight way, but a dramatic way, we become our own pope. We start to pontificate to people what we think is right in an ever-changing culture. So in other words, we want to keep up with the size and scope of the latest lobby group, and truth is therefore in a constant state of flux. So politically correct or not, I feel that these things need to be said. I would be remiss with my platform, which is not a platform seeking popularity or to be politically correct. I would be remiss with this platform if I did not mention that after reading an article like the one I just read. I think it is homophobic in the extreme not to tell people the truth about the principles and precepts of Christ, about the teachings of the Bible, in their unadulterated clarity. That's not the way to treat other people. It's not the way to love other people. It's not the way to be kind to other people. My doctor has told me the truth about my condition. Had she not told me the truth about my condition, I would not be taking the chemotherapy that I'm taking now, the drugs that I'm taking now. She told me the truth because she wanted a cure. And a lot of people will ask the question, and I think gratuitously in some cases, well, don't you think that homosexuals are going to go to heaven? And that is a misplaced question. It's asking the wrong question. It's not a matter of whether a homosexual is going to go to heaven. It is a matter of whether or not a homosexual or a heterosexual or any person on the planet wants to follow light, the light of creation, the light of Christ, the light of conscience. And as they do, they will learn more and more about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the parameters he sets around our lives, and learn that he does so not because he is a cosmic killjoy, but he does so that our joy might be complete. So imagine now the person in a lifestyle that robs them of joy, encountering the text in an adulterated fashion. You have to ask the question, does that help or hurt? Sort of like if my doctor gave me a therapy that wasn't really a therapy for my particular disease. Again, the point is that as we learn more and more about the principles and precepts of Christ, of our Father who is in heaven, we follow them. But it's hard to follow them when there are now all kinds of people who are pontificating different messages. That's the problem when you have a cottage industry that proliferates this stuff, and when you have just about anybody being able to hang up a shingle today and then take, I mean, think about this, the temerity of taking the text of Scripture and altering it. In light of Deuteronomy 4:2, do not add to what I command you, do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Or if that's not enough, Proverbs 30, do not add to his words or he will reprove you and you will be proved a liar. or Revelation 22, I testify to everyone who reads the words of the prophecy of this book, meaning the book of Revelation. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. These are sobering words. It's a sobering subject. Had to bring it up. It's my duty. We're going to be back on the other side of the break. We'll be taking your questions live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. So please don't touch that dial.
Are you ready to join the revolution? The DVD Revolutionary documents the journey of biochemist Michael Behe as he challenges the scientific establishment on new discoveries illuminating the limitations of Darwinism. Learn what led Dr. Behe to his famous discoveries, how those opposed to his ideas tried to kill them in court, how Behe's ideas have been vindicated by science during the past decade, and how his ideas have led to a growing movement for a new approach to biology. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Pro-choice advocates often contend that while human embryos are biological members of the human species, embryos have not yet reached the developmental stage necessary to identify them as persons. But is a human embryo a potential person or a person with great potential? Other topics include the divide between Sunni and Shia Muslims, challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, when freedom of expression and emotions collide on campus, does God have a spirit body, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Thank you. brilliantly produced documentary film on DVD from the Discovery Institute titled Revolutionary, Professor Michael Behe, a distinguished biochemist and recognized leader in the intelligent design movement, pokes serious holes in Darwinism with trailblazing insights into irreducible complexity. You might be asking, what is irreducible complexity? It is a concept clearly explained in Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This DVD will show you exactly why Darwin's theory is well past its prime. To receive a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick testimony, and then we'll go right to our callers. Gary writes, Hank, I happened to catch your interview on NPR, National Public Radio. I've attended a Greek Orthodox wedding and baptism for my nephew's son. Wonderful experiences. Thank you for affirming my convictions. Also, CRI support team, I was personalizing some books just as I came into the studio. Right after my prayer, and a colleague of mine anointing me with oil and praying for me, I personalized a book to Beverly, to David, to Carl, Richard, Donna, Walter. Different amounts, $25, $55. For example, David, $55. He's from San Diego, California. It's probably a store behind that number. I don't know why, but that's between him and the Lord. Richard in Lebanon, Tennessee, $200. Donna in Knoxville, $25. But the amount is of less important than the fact, importance than the fact that people are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, making a difference all around the planet. Let's take your calls, 888-ASK-HANK. Jason first in Arkansas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
I want to thank you for your program and thank you for taking my call. I'm praying for your healing.
Thank you.
I've been having a debate here in the last few days with some friends in a different denomination as I over the water baptism necessity and salvation. Of course, I know John the Baptist was doing a water baptism for repentance, but Jesus came to institute a baptism of spirit. And I just wanted to hear your commentary on the the difference between the two, and when you view salvation to occur, because those I was debating with, of course, do not think that a spirit comes upon you until water has been on your body. So I guess I will leave that with you to listen.
Yeah, there may be a difference between a chronological and a biblical answer to that question. The chronology and the biblical answer may be different. In other words, if you look at how it is logically laid out in Scripture, I think the latter thing you said has merit. But chronologically, it may well be, and I certainly will testify to this in my own life, that I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and I was saved, and then I was baptized in order to join the community of faith, to take up my cross and daily follow Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, going to the specifics of your question, a baptism was pictured by the passage of the children of God with Moses through the Red Sea. And this is taking the magnifying glass and putting it in the hands of the Apostle Paul as he shines light back on what happened in the Old Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Covenant, baptized in water for repentance. And we see that in various places, Mark 1, Acts chapter 19. And Jesus himself received the baptism of John And in that way, he did something transformative. He changed baptism itself. So there's a distinction in the New Covenant where baptism is the means by which we enter into the kingdom of God and we're joined to Christ and we're granted the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there are a number of points that need to be emphasized. When we are baptized, we are doing two things. We're being buried to our old life. We're being raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6. We're then taking up our cross and we're daily following Jesus Christ, which is to say we're not doing it in isolation. We're doing it in community and we pick up our cross. I mean, it's one of the things we do in Orthodoxy is there's a particular prostration where you touch the floor with your hand, and it's symbolic of picking up the cross and daily following Jesus Christ. And making the sign of the cross is also emblematic of, I am no longer ashamed of the cross. I know the cross is an offense. I'm not going to add to the offense by the way I communicate the cross. I know it's an offense. But I am taking up that offense. So I'm visibly going to wear the cross. I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to visibly wear the cross. I'm going to visibly make the sign of the cross. I'm going to visibly identify myself with Christ. And of course, the consequence of that in the early Christian church was draconian. It often meant being ripped apart by animals, or even worse. We also, I think, need to recognize that the second death of baptism is a continual dying to sin. We daily walk in newness of life. So this is a transformational, rather than a transactional kind of thing. And being raised to new life is to be raised to union with God. And I think that's, again, an often missed part of the equation, which means that the port of salvation, as Vladimir Vlosky said, the port of salvation is not the goal. It is that the shipwrecked continue on to the purpose set before them, the ultimate purpose being union with God. That's what we were created for, fellowship in the Trinity, as has been well said. So baptism, whether it comes chronologically after you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, may be real in our experience, but in terms of the logic of the Bible, the entrance into the community of faith is at the time of being baptized.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
You got it. Thanks for your question. It's a great question. You know, there's another question I wanted to address, and this is one of those ultimate questions. It is by Alonzo, and I think it came in on Facebook. Is that right? Hello, CRI. I love that. He's addressing our entire staff. Does the Bible promise that believers will see their saved loved ones again? And what about those who are not saved? How could heaven be good without them? Do you all have any literature on the subject? Well, I wrote a book on the subject, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. So yes, we have literature on that subject. That is my latest book. You can get your copy for your support of the ministry through the ministry or in bookstores everywhere. But what I want to emphasize in response to your question is, yes, you will see your saved loved ones again. Well, we're going to have a relationship with our saved loved ones for all eternity. And that relationship is not going to be ego-driven or eros-driven, but agape-driven, in the true sense of love that is beyond our ken in this time-space continuum. And then the second part of your question, I think, is very important as well. What about those who are not saved? How could heaven be good without them? Well, the question is, how could heaven be good with them? Because if the unsaved were dragged into heaven against their will, heaven would not be heaven, heaven would be hell. The righteous, therefore, would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. Why? Why would it be a torment worse than hell? It is because that is precisely what they don't want. They do not want a relationship with God. And it is exemplified by their life in this world. They are concerned about ordering their life around the city of man, not ordering their life around the city of God. Which means that they don't want in this life a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And certainly, therefore, if they did not want it in a temporary way, how in the world could they possibly want it in an eternal way? And so God gives them what they want. C.S. Lewis had a great quote about this. I don't know that I can rip it out of my mind right now, but he had said something to the effect that, I wish everyone could be saved, but the question then becomes, if they say, thy will be done, it is a far different proposition from saying, my will be done. So the question is a very important question. We do have literature on the subject, and I think it's also in context crucial to recognize that the memories of our sinful and painful pasts and our awareness of the perfect justice of God respecting our loved ones will only serve to enhance our capacity for eternal enjoyment. How? Because in heaven we will see things from God's perspective. In eternity, we will likewise fully comprehend that all who are in hell are there because they spurned the relationship that could have been theirs. The joy we will experience in heaven is not a fragile state of elation that is characterized by frivolity. It's a permanent, it's a steadfast joy characterized by a foundation in ultimate truth and reality. We will see things as they really are. And of course, all of this should motivate us, make a difference while there is yet time. Because in His providence, God has ordained both the ends and the means. He has ordained those who take His sacred name upon their lips to be His ambassadors so that the gospel may go forth to the ends of the earth. Well, we're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the station break with the quote of the day as well. We'll be taking more questions on the other side of the break. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. The quote of the day, it really has a lot to say about what the outrage of the day was in my monologue. It is about the model prayer. I think you'll love it.
Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In this case, the revolution has been televised. Revolutionary tells the story of Michael Behe's transformation from mild-mannered biochemist to orthodoxy-challenging revolutionary. It also explores the rise of the broader intelligent design movement in biology, the attempt to silence supporters of intelligent design in federal court, and the eventual vindication of the ideas of Professor Behe and others during the last decade. It's time to think critically and stand up to the unscientific status quo. Are you ready to join Michael Behe and be a revolutionary? To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day, it is a very important quote, particularly as I talked in the opening monologue about how Eugene Peterson changed the Lord's Prayer, particularly the petition, Hallowed Be Thy Name. And the quote of the day is something that I memorized a long time ago. And when I was speaking about a book that I wrote, The Prayer of Jesus, I used to quote this. Haven't quoted it for a while, so I'm going to read it out of my book, The Prayer of Jesus. It's by Dr. Adolphe Safar, and he says this about the Lord's Prayer, or what I like to call the Prayer of Jesus. It is a model prayer, and as such commends itself to the most superficial glance. approves itself at once to the conscience of man. It is beautiful and symmetrical, like the most finished work of art. The words are plain and unadorned, yet majestic, and so transparent and appropriate that once fixed in the memory, no other expressions ever mix themselves up with them. The thought of substituting other words never enters the mind. Grave and solemn are the petitions, yet the serenity and tranquil confidence, the peace and joy which they breathe, prove attractive to every heart. The prayer is short, that it may be quickly learned, easily remembered, and frequently used. But it contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. In its simplicity, it seems adapted purposefully for the weakness of the inexperienced and ignorant. And yet, none can say that he is familiar with the heights and depth which it reveals and with the treasures of wisdom it contains. It is calm and suited to the even tenor of our daily life. And yet in times of trouble and conflict, the church has felt its value and power, more especially has discovered anew that it anticipates every difficulty and danger, that it solves every problem and comforts the disciples of Christ in every tribulation of the world. It is the beloved and revered friend of our childhood, and it grows with our growth, a never-failing counselor and companion amid all the changing scenes of life. And so in our lifetime, we must confess ourselves with Luther to be only learning the high and deep lessons of those petitions. So we'll take eternity to give them their answer. Again, it is the model prayer, and Jesus made every word count. The words of the prayer he taught us to pray are treasures of incalculable value lying deep beneath the cobalt waters of a vast ocean. And like the siren call of the mermaids, his words beckon those snorkeling with burnt backs in shallow tide pools to don scuba gear, to descend into the prayer's glorious depths. There await unfathomed resources and riches that can scarcely be described to those living on the surface. And while the prayer of Jesus is not a prayer mantra, it is a prayer manner. As such, it has been eloquently described and used by the church throughout its history. Again, this is precisely why it is for me a very serious matter to tamper with the Word of God. Now, someone brought to my attention during the break the fact that Christianity Today produced an article, and the title of the article is "Actually, Eugene Peterson Does Not Support Same-Sex Marriage." In retraction, the popular author affirms a biblical view of everything, including marriage. Now, again, if he indeed retracts what he said, that would be wonderful. Retracts what he said 20 years ago in the message. Retracts his tampering of the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Or retracts his version of the model prayer, or the elimination of "Hallowed be thy name." Now, what Peterson said, according to this article, and I've just looked at it quickly during the break, is he was asked a hypothetical question, And he said, if I were pastoring today and a gay couple were Christians of good faith and they asked me to perform their wedding ceremony, if pastors don't have the luxury of indulging in hypotheticals. And to be honest, no is not a word I typically use. And they went on to state that because of the biblical view of marriage, he would not marry a same-sex couple. So he said yes, because no is not a word that he would typically use. When put on the spot by this particular interviewer, says Peterson, I said yes in the moment, but on further reflection and prayer, I'd like to retract that. That's not something I would do out of respect for the congregation, the larger body of Christ, and the historic biblical view and teaching on marriage. That said, I would still love such a couple as their pastor. Good for him. They'd be welcome at my table along with everyone else. I hope he doesn't mean the communion table. This is a popular view now within evangelicalism that regardless of a sin that is a perpetual sin, a sin that is a clear violation of the principles and precepts of the King of Kings, Lord and Lords, you serve them communion. Gay or straight, here, there's no hate here, I think, is the mantra that's typically used for the occasion. But I think there's a further point to be made here. And I don't know that the article goes into this. I only scanned the article. I don't think it does. But Peterson's retraction, his ambiguity, as it were, about the word yes and no, is not the salient point to begin with. What he said within a context. He said, I wouldn't have said this 20 years ago, but now I know a lot of people who are gay and lesbian, and they seem to have as good a spiritual life as I do. I think that kind of debate about lesbians and gays might be over. So on the one hand, he's saying he's affirming the orthodox position, the historic position of the church. On the other hand, he's saying that he thinks that kind of debate about lesbians and gays might be over. He goes on to say, in context, people who disapprove of it, they'll probably just go to another church. So we're in a transition. I think it's a transition for the best, for the good. I don't think it's something that you can parade, but it's not a right or wrong thing as far as I'm concerned. So it wasn't just the ambiguity of substituting a word that he typically doesn't use, the word no, with the word yes. It is a full-orbed explanation that precedes it. Now again, I do not want to cast aspersions on anyone when he outright says in retraction that he now affirms the biblical view of everything. But the problem here, again, is that what is the biblical view of everything that he's talking about? Because when I read his version of the Bible, it is not just the things that I have mentioned. I don't know if I can find this quickly, but it is many other things that he has said as well in terms of changing the biblical text to his particular version. And you think about John 14, where he says, the Father is the goal and purpose of my life. Where the Greek says, translated into common English, the Father is greater than I. Or John 3, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Well, Peterson's version says, unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible, moving the visible, a baptism into new life. It is not possible to enter God's kingdom. Or in Matthew 5, I mean, I could go on and on about this. Be perfect, Peterson changes to grow up, your kingdom subjects. Now live like it, live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. And these are substantive changes. Now understand, this is not a translation of the Bible, it's a paraphrase. But you still have to stay within the range of meaning that is being elucidated by the Spirit of God. You cannot add your own suppositions to the biblical text, use and abuse the earth, as he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you cannot eliminate. So I think it is critical that this issue was raised. Again, if Eugene Peterson is confused, I don't know. Certainly want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but this is not a small issue. This is an issue on the front burner of civilization, gender fluidity, transgenderism. The fact that social metrics are now being turned on their heads. This is a very serious subject, particularly when you know that sociology tells us that gender-differentiated parenting makes a huge difference in the lives of children. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you so much for standing with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.